Hello, my name is John Sifferman, and you're in for a real treat, because with me on the phone today is barefoot 10 Bob Saxton, who is considered by many to be one of the world's leading barefoot running experts. Barefoot Ken Bob is the creator of the Running Barefoot website, the original one, which houses a library jam-packed with information about going barefoot. I consider this interview sort of a teaser to get you to go check out everything that he has posted over the years on his website. So welcome to the call, Ken.
Okay, thank you, John.
All right, can we just start by having you give us a brief introduction about who you are and what you're doing?
Well, I'm Barefoot Ken Bob, and right now I'm riding in my car on the freeway, so every once in a while you're probably going to hear the GPS navigator tell us we're supposed to turn or something. Basically, who I am is, or where I came from, I was born barefoot, which seems to surprise a lot of people, or at least it seems like it should surprise a lot of people, the way they react when they see that I'm running a race or a marathon or just out for fun running barefoot. They seem like that's just so unnatural to do, obviously, that it doesn't occur to people that, you know, that's really how we were born. And I was born barefoot. So anyway, I grew up in the country, northern Michigan, still in the lower peninsula, but just barely. And my mom was a farmer's daughter. So, and we weren't real rich or anything, but, you know, we had enough money to live on and we were comfortable. But, you know, my parents were more the type of people that would say, you know, rather than, you know, put your shoes on before you go outside, they would say, don't get your shoes dirty. So the easiest way to do that in the summertime, at least, was to not wear them. And in the wintertime, you actually don't wear shoes outside anyway. You wear boots because it's too cold. But anyway, so I've always done some of my running barefoot. I've been running probably for over 50 years. I'm going to be 55 this year. So pretty much as long as I've been running, I can remember doing some of my running barefoot out on the fields behind our house and on the beaches, on the lakes, things like that, some of the trails through the forest where I live. I moved to California in 1980, and I had set a goal when I was in high school to run a marathon in my lifetime. So after moving to California, I started running a little bit further and further. And so I was doing, you know, like 6 mile runs once in a while, two, three times a week or whenever I felt like it, basically. I was never really a compulsive runner. For some reason, if you get famous for running, people think that you're a compulsive runner and you run every day or you have to run every day. That's not me. I run when it feels good, when I feel like running. Sometimes when I feel bad, I go for a run to make me feel good. But I hardly run every day. Anyway, so a few years after I moved to California, I got a job with Cal State University in Long Beach. And one of the grad students there suggested that we go out and run this silly marathon, and the Long Beach Marathon. And at the time, it hadn't occurred to me to run on pavement or run races with in bare feet. So I did that first marathon with shoes. But I trained. I'd run down to the beach about 5, 6, 7 miles. Then I'd run along the beach, which was 8 miles, but I took my shoes off to run on along the beach, and then I'd put them back on and run back home. So I was getting, you know, the long-distance runs in, but my feet were really only used to running in shoes for about 15 miles. So when I did the marathon, it started hurting after about, before 20 miles probably somewhere, certainly after 15 anyway. My feet just weren't used to that abuse of rubbing against the inside of shoes. So when I finished the marathon and peeled my shoes off, every bit of both my feet were raw. The toenails had turned black, and they fell off. You know, all the toenails fell off within a week. And but the one thing I did notice was the bottoms of my feet were fine. So, you know, the bottoms of feet obviously are designed for running and being in contact with surfaces, whereas the tops, sides, and backs are not. So that's kind of where I came from, and from that point on, I just started doing all of my running barefoot. I actually did less running because I accomplished my goal of finishing a marathon, and I didn't want to do that again because it hurt so much. But so I started running to work. I'd run barefoot and got to a point where I'm running both ways to and from work occasionally. And then I met a guy that invited me to run in some trails in the hills in California here. And they were doing, their short runs were 16 miles and 18 miles, and then they'd run 20, 24 miles sometimes. And those were on actually pretty rough, rocky trails, which was fairly interesting. One thing I did notice after a couple months of doing that, just once a week, the run to work got really easy. It was fairly flat, and it was only 8 miles, actually about 11 miles at that time. We lived in a different home. Anytime you start running with a group of people that run, of course, there's, so have you done a race? Are you going to do a race? Have you run this race? Do you want to do this race? So I did a 10-mile trail run, trail race. And after the race, I got a lot of people were asking me questions. They saw, you know, I ran the race barefoot, and I finished, and I did okay. And, you know, people were making comments like, you know, I can't even walk across my carpet barefoot. I don't know how you can run on these trails barefoot. Well, first of all, you probably need new carpet. But beyond that, I realized, you know, I mean, I'm just doing what feels good to me, and it was just fun, and I'm, you know, just a natural thing to be doing. But a lot of people were really curious about it. Again, like I said, a lot of people don't seem to realize it just by the reactions. It's like they don't realize this is really what we're born to do. So so I started my website. That was in 1997. And 1998, I ran my first barefoot marathon. After running in those hills, I realized, you know, I'm running 24 miles out here in these hills without shoes, and I'm not getting blisters. So I figured, okay, I can do a marathon. And I went up actually to Northern California for that first one, so I wouldn't be embarrassed in front of anyone I knew here in Southern California. But I finished actually half an hour faster than I did the one with shoes on 11 years previous when I was in my 30s. So, of course, most of that was just because I didn't have to walk gingerly those last 6 or 7 miles with blisters. Mm-hmm. Anyway, from there, I've actually done now 76 marathons barefoot, and the website gets about 1,000 hits a day. And it's just been an interesting journey. Chris McDougall wrote a book called Born to Run, and last year it was released, and since then it's kind of exploded. In that book is a character who goes by Barefoot Ted, who found my website when he was having knee and back problems whenever he tried running any distance. So he started running barefoot and was able to actually, within a year, finish a marathon barefoot. Yeah. And then he went and did a race down in Mexico with the Tarahumara Indians, and Chris McDougall, the author of the book Born to Run, was there, and that's kind of what that book was about. So Ted, being the character that he is in real life, stands out in the book, and now everybody's curious about running barefoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd actually like to get both of them interviewed. I read the book and can recommend it to anybody who's interested in running.
I actually recommend it to people who aren't interested in running. It reads so well. It's like reading a Harry Potter novel. And
yeah, it really is like an adventure.
Yeah, and I'm not a wizard, but I still enjoy reading a Harry Potter story.
Exactly.
And so you don't have to be a runner. It's just a really well-written adventure story.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move right along. Why do you think barefoot or going barefoot is important, both for runners and non-runners?
The most important thing to me is the fact that there's just a whole lot of nerves in the soles of our feet. And I realized a long time ago those aren't there just so that my sisters and brothers could tickle my feet and torture me. They're actually there to teach us something. Just like the, you know, we have nerves in our hands to tell us where our fingers are and, you know, whether we've got a grasp on something that we're trying to pick up, for example. Our feet actually have all those nerve endings. They're like the quality inspectors on a manufacturing assembly line. You know, they're telling you when the parts are not within spec. And so they're teaching us how to run gently, and, you know, they let us know emphatically and immediately if we're doing it wrong. And they also teach us even over changing terrain to change, you know, what we're doing with each step. And as our body changes, as we're growing as children, getting longer legs and things, they let us know, okay, you don't have to reach that far anymore to hit the ground because your leg's longer now, you know, things like that. So, you know, throughout our lifetime, they're continuously monitoring the quality of not just the way we're running, but the way we're walking or standing. And that's something that in our society over the past 100 or 200 years, especially in the cities, we've lost. So, you know, people just are so, it's like you've taken the inspectors and you've put them in a soundproof booth so that they can't touch the parts because, well, frankly, we don't like it when they fail the parts because then we got to go back and fix them, you know. And, you know, that seems fine for a while, but then you're shipping all these parts that, you know, go out to people and the people get hurt, you know. And it's the same thing with running. You know, you're running with the shoes on, and it's blocking the feedback to your quality control inspectors. And then next thing you know, your knees are damaged because you weren't getting that feedback telling you, hey, you're doing this wrong. You know, you're landing too hard or whatever. So I think that's really the most important thing about it. For me, it was just blisters because I had always done some of my running barefoot. And, you know, like Kenyans, not that I'm that good a runner or that fast, certainly. But I've always been conscious of running gently. Even in the wintertime in Michigan, I put shoes on, but I'd get cheap, thin-soled shoes, and, you know, I'd be very aware of when I was jarring or jolting and, you know, not bending my knees when I was landing and things like that. It's just a lot more emphatic if you're barefoot. And, you know, the Kenyans just grow up that way, and, you know, they take for granted, like we take for granted, learning to talk. It's, you know, just how they learn to walk and run. They're very graceful and consistently the best runners in the world. And so even though they're running in shoes in the races, well, they've already learned how to run. And when they run in those shoes, they're running the same way they did when they learned while they were barefoot. And also a lot of the shoe companies actually help them pay them to do the races if they're winning. So if they weren't wearing shoes, they probably would still be in Kenya.
Right. Yeah. So there's definitely private interests involved. All right. Now, what benefits could people experience by deciding to ditch their shoes today?
What kind of what?
You know, what are like the immediate benefits that people experience by deciding to ditch their shoes today? I mean, obviously the new sensation, obviously the body's way of telling you that you're moving this way, but are there other benefits involved?
Well, there are a few. I mean, like I said, that's the most important one. But, you know, I get asked quite a bit about hot pavement and things like that. There's, in addition to all those nerve endings on the soles of their feet, there's 250,000 sweat glands in our feet, and they're pumping out about a liter of water per day. And I'm not even sure if that's when we're running. That may, and of course, actually, that might be while we're in shoes. That perspiration is actually, you know, our air conditioning. Not only does it keep the feet cooler, but it cools down our blood, which circulates through our body. And so it's a part of our whole radiating system, which keeps us running cooler. It's actually 9 degrees hotter inside shoes. Other benefits are, well, most modern shoes are not shaped like a human foot. If you look at a bare foot that hasn't been constantly inside modern shoes, especially dress shoes or something like that, you'll see that the toes do not point towards the center of the shoe, the foot. They point straight ahead. And just by wearing almost any modern shoe, even running shoes, you'll notice that the shoe is kind of pointed in the middle there, and it deforms the foot over time. And even when it's not immediately deforming the foot, it's certainly uncomfortable. So there's a lot of benefits like that. As soon as you start walking in around barefoot, some of that deformity starts straightening out because your feet respond to the freedom and the ability to spread your toes again. There's any other ones. Toenails, of course. Things like that.
Yep.
You can actually learn to run. If you learn to run with really good technique, as if you were barefoot, you can actually avoid the loss of toenails and the blisters inside the shoes. A lot of that is because our feet are sliding around inside the shoes badly. So I don't know what my excuse is other than I just didn't run very far in shoes before I did my first marathon. But
right.
But anyway, just the feeling of freedom and the air blowing across the skin on the feet, cool, keeping them cool. It's just a nice, being able to run through a mud puddle without worrying about getting your shoes wet.
Yes, I do love that feeling. I look for the mud.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the mud puddle with beer bottles in the bottom. But
yeah, that's true.
Especially the broken beer bottles.
Yeah.
But you know what? You have to watch for those with shoes, too.
Yes, you do. That doesn't change.
What's really funny is I actually run across stuff barefoot, and I'll see people with shoes running around it. And it's just, you know, some debris, leaves, and sticks and twigs and things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is interesting. You know, you totally change the way you run, and you can see a trail so differently when you run with shoes and then run barefoot. It's like a whole new experience. Now, what do you perceive as like the greatest hindrance for people who want to start running barefoot? But, you know, there might be some social pressure or health concerns or just fear of the unknown. What do you think is the greatest hindrance?
Well, those three are probably very similar. It's basically about fear, fear of, you know, social outcasts and fear of hurting your feet. It's all really about fear. But a lot of those fears, except for maybe the social one, and even that is exaggerated. A lot of those fears are just exaggerated in our minds. You know, the broken glass, one runner on our forum posted, you know, he said one of his friends told him, you know, there's broken glass everywhere. How do you avoid that? So he said, well, come run with me and you tell me when you see a piece of broken glass. And they ran for a mile before the guy said, hey, there's one. And, you know, the guy in writing the letter said, yeah, okay, so now I just turn around, you know, and go around the piece of glass. But even then, you know, I run over broken glass frequently. I don't try to run over it, but, you know, sometimes I'm running in the dark. And most of it just lays flat there unless you're sliding your feet across the ground, and you're really not going to do that very much when you're barefoot. So, you know, and nails and things like that, well, unless you're standing up, they're not going to puncture your foot. They're just laying down. And if you're running, again, gently, you're not putting that much pressure on them or sliding across them so you don't slice your feet on them. I've actually had my foot punctured by nails 3 times, and 2 of those times I was wearing shoes. None of those times I was running. I was actually, you know, working in a wood pile, so kind of something you might expect, and I just got sloppy. Careless, but the punctures with shoes are actually worse because by the time it's gone through the sole of the shoe, you've got your full weight on it. If you're barefoot and the sole of your shoe or your sole of your foot touches a sharp object like that, you respond reflexively and shift your weight away from it much quicker. So you're either not going to puncture or you're going to puncture much less than if you were wearing shoes. I did get a screw stuck in my foot one night when I was running home from work, and it actually just barely went through the thick skin on the ball of my foot, and I unscrewed it. It was only in, like, one turn. It was kind of funny. It was a stainless steel screw, so I wasn't too worried about it. And it actually looked brand new. It must have just fell off the truck. But it was kind of funny. It just was able to unscrew it.
Yeah.
And there was no blood. I mean, you know, the as you run barefoot, of course, you want to start by focusing on the learning process as if you were a child, which is really hard for adults, especially in our country, because, you know, if you've been running 5 miles a day, you want to keep running 5 miles a day for some stupid reason, but that's just the way we are, I guess. So you don't want to go back and say, okay, running barefoot is all a new thing to me, and I should start from the beginning and take it slow and short at first and learn while I'm doing it. We just want to go out and say, okay, I run 5 miles a day with shoes. It's the same thing. I'm just taking my shoes off. But it isn't, because you're using different muscles. Your feet have not acclimated to it, and it's not just about the skin on the bottom, which will toughen up, and it toughens up very quickly. Actually, almost too quickly, at least when we're adults. Because once you get the skin toughened up, we think, oh, we're all set to go. And then you find out, oh, your bones aren't very strong either, because they've been supported by thick running shoes for a long time. So your bones and ligaments, tendons, and all sorts of, you know, the whole structural element of the foot takes a lot longer to strengthen than just the skin.
Right.
So that's the big mistake people make when they start. And that may be part of one of the fears they have. It's like, oh, it's going to hurt. Well, yes. It's going to hurt because you're not running the way you're designed to run. So if it hurts, basically that's your body saying you're doing something wrong. And it's, for a lot of people, again, there's that fear, you know, if it hurts, then I don't want it to hurt. And the easiest way to solve that is to put shoes on. And then they go back to running, and oh, my knees hurt now and my back hurts now. Oh, well, you know, I guess that's just because, you know, I'm not designed to run. But, again, they've taken out those quality assurance inspectors, and they've lost sight of, you know, the quality of the technique, the ability to learn how to run better.
Mm-hmm.
So the social concerns are interesting, and, you know, I've been doing this for a while, so I've been running into it for a while. At races and among running people, it's really not a real negative connotation to it, but every once in a while you'd be running and somebody standing on the side of the road or something while y'all running barefoot, that's really bad for you, you know. that's really changed in the last year. You know, I like to say there's the BC and the AC, before Chris McDougall's book and after Chris McDougall's book. The comments have overwhelmingly become a lot more positive. Most of the comments I get are, yeah, I've started running barefoot and it's really good, it's great, I just haven't, you know, I'm not ready to do whatever distance they're running that day barefoot yet, which is okay. So, you know, as long as the shoes work for you for that distance and you're not hurting your knees or back, you can keep doing the distance you were doing. So, yeah, so the responses have changed dramatically. They actually started changing even after I started my website and started getting some publicity, and, you know, there'd be articles in Runner's World, newspapers, things like that. And people were starting to get it even in the past 10 years. It's been gradually improving, and then suddenly there's this burst. Like I said, that's a very well-written book, and it deserves to be a bestseller, and that's why, you know, the attitude changed quickly, because the book is a bestseller and people are really reading it because it's enjoyable read.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say to someone who challenged the idea of going barefoot because there hasn't been much, like, peer-reviewed scientific research confirming that it's healthy and safe and effective long-term?
I would say it's actually been being tested since the beginning of life on this planet. It's been tested by evolution. Shoes have not. I mean, we wouldn't be here if our ancestors could not walk or run barefoot healthily and, you know, thrive doing it. They just wouldn't have survived in the real world, in the natural world. So it's been tested for millions of years, essentially. We're the only animal that thinks we can't run the way we're designed to run. Shoes are the new thing. They're actually the fad. It's only through millions of dollars of advertising have running shoes become successful. Without, you know, I mean, 100, 200 years ago, most of the people in America went around barefoot. It was just the people in the cities, the wealthy people in the cities that wore shoes, at least on a regular basis. So, I mean, like, my family, we wore shoes to church and to school and shopping and things like that, but is what, anytime we could get away with it, we'd take them off. And, you know, it really has been tested. We have a research lab built into our body. We have, you know, the sensors in our souls that Dan Lieberman has in his lab and Irene Davis have in their lab to test all these things. We have the most sophisticated computer ever developed attached to those sensors. And that computer feeds right back to the muscles in our body. And this whole continuous loop is just the way we're designed. It's a very wonderful system. You know, it's like the traction control in my car. If I take the fuse out of the traction control in my car and I give the keys to a teenager, he's going to wear the tires out. But if I leave that traction control system engaged so that, you know, the car knows if the wheels are spinning or not or skidding, it makes adjustments. And it's the same way in our body, only even more sophisticated, because there's just thousands of nerve endings in each foot. It's like having thousands of nerve endings in each tire. It's, it doesn't need peer review because it works. I mean, the only reason it's becoming popular right now is because the running shoes are not working for a lot of people. And we're not, you know, the running barefoot movement, if you want to call it that, is not taking shod runners that are doing well and making them barefoot. Most of the elite runners already practice barefoot when they're not racing, at least part of the time. But we're taking people who have not been able to run in modern running shoes because the shoes just get in the way of them running correctly, of learning how to run correctly. So we're actually, more people are running because of the increasing popularity of the idea that running barefoot actually works. And, you know, that's why so many people on my website stick with it, because shoes didn't work for them, and running barefoot does. The testing doesn't have to be peer-reviewed or done in a clinic or anything like that. It's done on our body every step that we take.
I think that's very sage advice right there. Now, what do you think about the growing market for minimalist footwear? Do you see it as like a valuable tool for transitioning into a barefoot lifestyle, or is it more of a distraction from the main issue?
It's actually a hindrance towards transitioning. You know, they have their place, but I live in Southern California, and I don't feel like running hundreds of miles over razor-sharp rocks in the mountains. I haven't seen a need for them. I mean, I, you know, when I first started running with the trail runners, you know, and was doing 15, 16, 20 miles once a week, you know, I considered putting some kind of rubber surface on a sock or something, but I'm kind of a procrastinator, so I just never got around to it. And then, you know, by the time I had the idea was more gelled in my mind, I realized I really didn't need it. The big problem with the, I mean, we're seeing some serious injuries because people are substituting the minimalist footwear for tough skin. So, you know, they're going out there and trying to run barefoot, or they're not trying to run barefoot because their skin is too soft and tender and sensitive. And they think that's a detriment to running barefoot. So they go out and buy some minimalist footwear. But that sensitive soles on our feet are actually a benefit, because they're telling us, first of all, you know, don't do too much right now. You're not ready to do too much right now. And it's a safety issue. I mean, these are the inspectors on the assembly line. You're not ready to ship the product. You know, don't go out and run 5 miles today barefoot. Don't go out and run 5 miles in minimalist footwear because your feet are not used to not having the support of those thick shoes. So they're really actually quite dangerous for anybody trying to start out or abandon their shoes. So, I mean, if you're not having trouble with shoes, you know, you can keep your mileage up with shoes and then transition to barefoot gradually just by taking your shoes off occasionally. But in the meantime, you know, listen to your feet. Your bare soles, you're going to get the most precise feedback that way. And take what you learn when you put your shoes on, and try to run the same way as if you were barefoot. If you go to minimalist shoes so that you can keep your mileage up, you're really going to damage your, and people are damaging their feet. I get like half a dozen emails a week from people who, or emails or comments on my website, people who complain, I tried running barefoot in these minimalist footwear, and now my feet hurt. You know, I'm getting these severe pains on the tops of my feet. Well, yeah, because your feet aren't used to running without that support, and you may have changed the way you're running a little bit because of the minimalist footwear. And there's actually some really bad literature out there, and some people read it badly, and they get the wrong idea that you're never, you're supposed to stay on the balls of your feet, and that just puts way too much torque on the foot. The first thing I tell people after I tell them that I'm not a coach and that, the real coaches are the soles of your feet is you have to relax. You have to let the entire foot touch the ground. And, that's why our feet are built the way they are and not the way a dog is, whose heels have a touch. But then again, they have 4 feet, so they make up for it that way. But, use the entire foot. And then if your heel's banging, that just means your knee's not bent enough. So you need to bend your knee, which changes the angle of the landing. So you do land with the ball of the foot first, but then relax the calves so that the heel touches. And that's, of course, the other issue is the immediate issue people get is my calves are just burning up. Well, yeah, because you're trying to keep your heel off the ground, and that's not how you should be running. Actually, you need to get the rest of the body in alignment, the knees bent, relaxed, and use those natural springs rather than depending on just, changing the way your foot's touching the ground and not changing the way the rest of your body is working. So anyway, I see them as a real danger. they're the one place that I could see for them, and it's like when I was living in Michigan in the wintertime, it gets cold, and people are running barefoot in the cold, and they can do it for a mile or two, or even 3 or 4 or 5. Barefoot Rick in Missouri runs every day all through the year, and he runs right through the snow and stuff. It took him a few years to get used to it, and a little bit of frostbite that he got over, but then he figured it out, and his body acclimated. Again, it's basically something you have to work your way into gradually. If you're going to do it in the cold, even more so. But be sensible, like we were when we were kids and played in the snow. If you're starting to lose feeling in any part of your body, it's time to go in and warm up and have some hot chocolate. And that's how we played when we were kids, even with shoes on. When we started getting cold and it was uncomfortable, we went inside and warmed up. Then we went back out again. While we were warming up, our clothes are drying off over the radiator, or we throw them in the dryer or whatever. But you have to be sensible. You have to be like a child. And if this is uncomfortable, then it's time to stop. It's time to rethink how you're doing it or what you're doing. That's really the only place I can see for them. Barefoot Ted obviously has embraced them to some extent, but he's still a barefoot runner, and he learned how to run barefoot. He's a type A personality who's kind of, okay, let's go, let's see how far I can go. And he was running with people in the trails like I used to run with people in the trails, and he wanted to run 100-mile runs in these trails. And so he was looking for some alternative footwear, and he's not as much a procrastinator as I am, so he actually tested out a lot of different things, had different ideas. Eventually came across the Vibram Five Fingers, which were a kayaking shoe, I think, originally, and helped Vibram, called up Vibram and said, hey, these are great, but I got some suggestions and whatever, and helped develop them into a running shoe. And that works fine for Ted, but, if you're not running 100 miles on razor-sharp rocks and you're not running in cold weather, there's really not a need for them, and they really do get in the way, especially when you're learning to run. You really want to avoid, you don't wear earplugs when you're trying to learn how to sing, because I know it hurts to hear yourself sing badly, but wearing earplugs isn't the cure. You want to actually try to improve the way you're singing. So take the earplugs out, take off the minimalist footwear, and pay attention to how you're running. Chris McGugle, while he was writing the book, became a barefoot runner. And his transition was, well, part of his writing the book was about him seeing coaches and learning how to run correctly. And so he had really good coaches teaching him how to run gently as if he were barefoot. But then, of course, he ran into Barefoot Ted and started running in the Vibram Five Fingers for a while. Then he broke his toe in his house one day. Not while he was running. He was just walking around the house and kicked a chair or a table or something. But anyway, he said he couldn't get the Vibram Five Fingers over the swelled up toe. So that's when he started running barefoot with a broken toe. And he said it was just a world of difference. The subtleties, how much more you can learn while you're barefoot than you can even in minimalist footwear. Minimalist footwear, okay, imagine, you know, food. You know, there's some food that's nutritious. There's ice cream and there's candy and things like that. So, you know, the really thick, cushiony, you know, overpriced modern high-tech running shoes that try to do everything for you, those are like sugar candy. You know, they don't really give you any nutrition. They don't let you decide what you're doing or how you're doing it. They just try to do everything for you. And generally, you don't get any nourishment, and you can't really live on it. The minimalist footwear is kind of like ice cream. You know, there's some nutrition in there. There's some vitamins and minerals, but there's still a lot of sugar and fat, things like that. You know, it's a little bit better than the hard candy, pure sugar candy. But it's not something you'd really, you know, if you're trying to live healthily, not something you'd want to live on every day and just, you know, all the time. So if you want to get really nutrition, you got to go to the vegetables and the stuff that, you know, maybe it doesn't taste so good at first. You know, your body has to kind of get used to it. You have to learn to relax on the rough, the sharp gravel and, you know, let it teach you to use your entire soul rather than trying to push in the ball of your foot into the sharp edges and things like that. So that's kind of how I see, you know, minimalist footwear. And again, even the soft surfaces like grass and sand, a lot of experts say this is how you should start running barefoot. Personally, I think that's baloney, and I see a lot of people getting hurt doing that too, just like they do in the minimalist footwear, because it doesn't give you much feedback. It doesn't tell you you're doing something wrong, and you end up with the same problems, different problems than you did from your cushion shoes. So I don't see it as a help in transitioning. It's really something for experts. It's the dessert. Once you've learned how to run, you know, once you've been on the rough surfaces and run on a variety of hard surfaces, and it's just, you know, get out there and get a variety. And if your feet aren't ready for doing a mile on whatever surface you're running on, then you're not ready to run a mile on that surface. You have to listen to your feet. And the minimalist footwear doesn't let you completely get the message.
All right. Well, that was way more than I was expecting. That was probably the best answer I think I've ever heard for
Thank
that
you.
Question. Thank you. Now, for somebody who has been wearing shoes for most or all of their life, what advice would you offer to them as they begin going barefoot? Is there like a specific progression that you would recommend a beginner follow?
Well, basically, don't do more than your feet are ready for. Your bare feet. You know, take your shoes off, but take them completely off. Take your socks off. You know, you can walk around on your floor in your house. You know, start on your carpet if you have to, but, you know, try to find a hardwood floor or a concrete floor in the basement or wherever, you know, whatever you have. If you're not ready to go outside, just stay in the house and walk in place, stand in place and get used to feeling, you know, the weight on the soles of your feet and, you know, practice, you know, bending your knees and changing your posture and paying attention to how that shifts the feeling in the soles of your feet. One of the things I do mention to people, again, it's barefoot running, it's running barefoot, but it's not all about what the foot is doing. The foot is, again, it's the quality control inspector. So, you know, there's a lot of other things you want to change. I think you have a question coming up for me later is how to run, you know, running technique. And I've got to kind of touch on it right now, is, you know, you want to get the torso vertical. You want to be kind of loose so that your torso can rotate to counterbalance, you know, the movement of your legs. You want your knees bent. You want them relaxed. You want to relax your ankles and calves so that your entire sole can touch the ground. And then rather than trying to make your feet touch the ground or hit the ground, in fact, we don't even want our feet to hit the ground at all. But we, you know, instead of trying to make them touch the ground in a certain way or hit the ground in a certain way, we want to use them as our inspectors. The message coming from the soles of our feet are telling us there's something wrong in the way we're standing and the way we're moving our legs or whatever, how fast we're not moving our legs or are moving our legs, things like that. So they're kind of like the speedometer needle. They're not the source of running completely, you know. They're just the part that touches the ground and lets us know how we're doing. So beyond that, again, I can't really probably can't emphasize it enough. You know, don't do more than your feet are ready for, your bare feet are ready for. So, you know, if you go out and walk a half a mile and your feet are really sore, then it's time to stop. You know, go back, rest. If they're still sore the next day, rest another day. Again, if you're not having problems running in shoes, you can supplement, you know, your physical activity by running in shoes. If you are having problems running in shoes, you know, if you're having knee pains and back pains, then there's really no point in continuing that either. So, you know, bicycle or something, swim, do something just to keep moving so you get your exercise, keep that up. But, you know, don't say, I really need to keep my cardio up and I'm just starting to run barefoot, so I'm going to go do 5 miles barefoot. You know, don't do it. It's just silly. You know, go out and listen to your feet. Don't set a, you know, some artificial distance that you need to run today, you know, just because it's on a schedule.
All right. Now, should somebody find a balance between getting barefoot running coaching and simply starting down a path of personal exploration? You know, what do you recommend? A little of both, maybe?
Well, the easiest thing is the personal exploration. It can be a little more time-consuming, but on my website, on probably, I know on Dan Lieberman's website, there's some really good advice on running technique and just the basics of it. And that can give you a little head start. And if you learn to run gently, it's not all about strengthening the feet and toughening up. If you learn to run gently, your feet will meet you halfway, and so will all the other muscles in your body. If you're not, you know, excessively straining your calf muscles, you're going to progress a lot faster because you're not going to have to work as hard to run 5 miles a day. So, you know, you'll get there faster by taking the time to learn. Okay, remind me what the question was again. Oh, progression, how to get there, coaching or not coaching. One of the things I do say in my workshops, basically, I mean, I'm not a coach. Feet are the coach, but I can give you a little head start. And the reason for that, the reason I think that's necessary, especially for adults in our country and our society, again, children don't have any problem learning to run, but they take a year or two before they actually start running any significant distance. I mean, from the moment they're born, they're wiggling their toes and fingers and feeling things and responding. And then from the moment they start crawling on the ground, they're still experimenting. So, you know, it may take 3-4 years before they can run half a mile. You know, I'm not really sure what the progression is for children, but I believe it's faster for barefoot children. You know, they actually do start walking earlier because they have the benefit of the feedback. And, you know, they're going to develop better balance and things because they have that ability to respond and the reflexes are there, because the nerve endings are sending them signals to respond to. So, you know, that's the key thing, is take the shoes off, take the socks off, and let your bare soles touch the ground. But the coaching, you know, if you can get to one of my free barefoot workshops, that's a good idea. If you can't, you know, read the stuff on the website. It's all there. It's not, you know, the coach can't really tell you how you're feeling. The coach is, you know, you know, most the whole idea of coaching in the past has been, okay, you watch how I run and tell me if I'm doing it wrongly. Well, our feet can do that so much better because, again, thousands of nerve endings, precise, instant, emphatic feedback with every single step. You don't have to wait for the coach to watch you run a lap around the track and then you go back up there and tell them what you're doing wrong. Your feet will tell you with every step. So those are really the best coaches you can have. You have to have the patience of a child, which is really difficult for us as adults. So, you know, go ahead and, if you want to, get some coaching. Read through my website, read through Christopher McDougall's Born to Run website, Daniel Lieberman's website. His is probably a little more concise than mine because mine's been kind of an evolutionary website and a lot of people contributing. So the whole process is there, the whole evolution of coming to, you know, the fundamentals that we now understand, which are probably going to change, you know, within the next year or two. I'm still learning. I'll be 55 this year. Every time I go out for a run, I discover something new. It may be very subtle, but it's there. That's one of the really cool things about running barefoot. Even if it doesn't teach you to change the way you're running, it's just a more stimulating experience. It's an experience. The shoes really take away, first of all, the stimulation, and secondly, they take away from the experience of running. So, one of the things that leads to is, you know, I get a lot of questions or people comment that, you know, well, we're designed to run barefoot, you know, on soft dirt trails and, you know, where there's, no gravel and things like that. But, you know, these hard pavement sidewalks, you know, that's obviously not natural. Again, that's baloney. We're not, and it really isn't even a valid argument for running in shoes because, you know, you throw shoes on and we're not designed for that either. So, but my philosophy, and I've run a lot of trails, and they're not as nice to run barefoot on as the roads and sidewalks. There's a lot of sharp rocks out there and sticks, and there's a lot of things out there that aren't as comfortable. And that's okay. You'll learn more from those, but, there's nothing wrong with running barefoot on roads. The problem is running on hard surfaces without being able to feel and how not getting that feedback telling you that you're running badly. We're not designed to run without that feedback. So, you know, for all those people that say we're not designed to run barefoot on whatever surface they want to say, we're not designed to run without the feedback on any surface. So, you know, it's really important.
Yeah. Now, I know you touched on this a moment ago, but I'd love it if you could give us like a brief description of proper running technique, because I see a lot of these new barefoot running gurus popping up, not necessarily, you know, Barefoot Ted or Chris McDougall or anyone like that, but
right.
They all focus on the foot strike and they say, oh, well, the only thing you have to change is stop heel striking and just land on a ball of foot or a midfoot strike. I know there's a lot more to it than that. So could you just give us a brief description?
Yes, there is. And those are the people that go to those foot gurus are the ones that come to my website and complain about their calves burning up. And eventually that does go away because you've strengthened your calf, but then they hurt their foot. There's just really too much strain on the foot when you're constantly up on the balls of your feet. So, the chi running and Nicholas Romanoff's Post-Tech and evolution running, I think there's another one, natural running. These are all coaching methods that have evolved from watching how people run, you know, good runners, how they run. And it's not so much that, you know, people haven't been, it's not so much about the technique for most of these schools. It's, like Nicholas Romanoff used to say, you know, I haven't invented a new way to run. I've invented a way to teach running technique. So they're really, what they're doing is teaching good technique. A lot of these people have been around for a while. One coach in San Diego, Ozzie Gontang, Austin Gontang, goes by Ozzy. But he's been teaching running technique. He has a thing called ball, heel, ball, the mantra that he used to tell people, you land on the ball, the heel touches, and then you're back up on the ball a little bit. But he's been teaching that for 30 years. And, just recently he invited me down there, and Christopher McDougall's book come out. He says, it's finally turning around, and people are starting to get that we're not designed to land heel first. But again, that's just a small part of the technique. So the pose running and G running, evolution running, things like that, the first thing they focus on is what the body is doing, the upper body, the torso. Basically, my philosophy is try to make everything as easy as possible. Otherwise, you can't relax, 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 which is my mantra. So in order to make it easy, you want to make the muscles do less work. To do that, you have to get the torso vertical so that, if you're leaning forward on your torso, your shoulders are in front of your hips, for example, then your back muscles are being strained constantly. And to support that imbalance. So the first thing is to get your torso balanced on top of your hips, the biggest mass of your body anyway. Second thing is keep your head upright too. Whichever way, one of the things I like to point out in workshops, I've done 76 marathons in bare feet, 77 total, and any small thing that you're doing badly or that you're having a bad day or whatever, is going to add up over the miles. So the first time I was running a barefoot road marathon, I got really excited and, I did a 4.5-hour trail marathon last year. I can do I can do really better on the road. I've been training, I'm in shape. And so I'm pacing with this guy, and we're doing a 330 pace, about an 8-minute mile pace. And I just, really, at mile 20, I hit the wall, and I had to sit down, so I went to the bathroom. I didn't have to go to the bathroom, I just had to sit, and then, I was down the last 6 miles on the way back to the finish line. I just had to take naps every couple of miles, but the one thing I noticed is whichever way I turned my head, because I was so exhausted, my body would follow my head. So you want your head upright so that you're moving along upright and you're moving forward. So you want your face facing forward. You can look around by shifting your eyes, that's okay. But, anytime you turn your head, and especially, you see people running with their head constantly turned one direction or leaning to the side or something. And those little things like that are going to shift the mechanical balance of the rest of your body. And, they're just going to accumulate over the miles. You're making some adjustment somewhere else in your body to counteract the imbalance in your upper body or your head. So, keep those vertical. Instead of trying to run up on the balls, I tell people to run down on the balls of the feet. All you have to do to get your heel, to shift your weight off your heel, you don't have to stress your calf muscle at all. All you have to do is bend your knees, lower your hips, and the weight will come off your heel. And then now suddenly you've got this spring that's loaded, which is really cool because all you have to do now is just kind of shift your balance a little bit so that your hips and your torso above your hips are slightly in front of your feet, and then you're moving forward. Then all you have to do is move your legs quickly enough to keep up. One of the problems with running up on the balls of the feet is we have a tendency to straighten our knees out, which takes away that spring. So, I try to think of my body moving along along this horizontal line. So, when I'm doing a race especially, I kind of focus on something like on the inside of the next curve, for example, and I'll just follow that line and I'll try, I don't want to swerve side to side, and I don't want to bounce up and down. And if I try to get my body following that line, that horizontal kind of a string, and I'm floating along on it, supported by that string, then my feet and legs move naturally. My feet are going to do what they're supposed to do at that point. The other thing is fast cadence. You want your feet to move quickly. The shorter time you spend trying to float through the air like the guys in Chariots of Fire, which, by the way, was slow motion. That wasn't the way they were actually running. They were moving their legs fast, and then they slowed the film down. So, you know, we get this idea that we're supposed to glide for minutes, you know, with each stride, and just the problem with that is, you know, every instant that you're in the air, the body is falling toward the earth. And every instant your body's falling towards the earth, it's accelerating. So the longer you spend in the air, the longer, the faster your body is going when you hit the ground, the harder you're going to hit. The other side of that is you have to launch your body higher into the air, which means you have to push down, which means you not only are you hitting hard, but you're pushing your feet into the ground and doubling the sudden jarring, jolting impact, which is sadly made jogging an acronym or a synonym for running, which it really isn't. I mean, if you're running, you should be floating along gently and gracefully. There should be no jarring, jolting, pounding, or jogging sensation in the body. So, you know, move your feet like you were riding a bicycle. If you're not, feet aren't moving fast enough, if you feel some pounding, shift to a lower gear and start moving your feet faster. You don't necessarily have to be moving forward fast. I mean, you can run in place. Another thing about hot pavement, which this brings up, is one year my wife and I ran LA Marathon. We actually run it every year since 2000, but one year it was especially hot. And they, at that time, they were starting about 9 o'clock anyway. And it was the year after 9/11. So there was a truck parked on the course, so they had to do a bomb check and get the truck removed from the course. So they ended up starting about 9:30, 10 o'clock or something like that. And we already knew it was going to be a hot day, and we were going to take it easy. And we finished in 7 hours. So we were out there in Los Angeles. 98 degrees, the sun just baking the pavement, and toward the latter miles of the marathon, my wife's doing a lot more walking, and I'm walking beside her, and I realize, you know, this is kind of burning my feet. But just by lifting my feet faster and focusing on lifting the feet, okay, that's one of the other keys, is focusing on the lift, not on the push. Whatever you focus on, it, you're going to emphasize, and we don't want to emphasize pushing the feet into the ground. So anyway, right, focus on lifting the feet faster. So basically, I was running in place beside my wife while she was walking at a walking pace. So, you know, you can move your feet quickly, and you don't necessarily have to, you know, wear yourself out and run really fast and be out of breath. It's not exactly the same thing. But anyway, by doing that, again, I answer the question about hot pavement, is you're not spending as much time on the pavement. Your feet are flying through the air very quickly. You got all those sweat glands cooling them off. And so, you know, it's like a frying pan. You can grab a frying pan handle and touch it for a moment and not do any damage to your hand. But if you grab that frying pan handle and hold on to it, then your hand's going to burn. The same thing with hot pavement. If you're resting, standing, or even walking on hot pavement, your feet are going to burn. But if you're running, they don't. I actually had some kids, I work at a university, I'm a technician at a university, and some students from Kuwait were asking, one of the group of students was in my office one day, and one of them asked me, well, what about hot pavement, you know, and one of the other ones looks at the kid and says, you know, remember when we were kids and we used to play soccer barefoot in the desert at 120 degrees, and I said, oh yeah, it wasn't a problem, was it? The same kind of idea. Two things happen. One is acclimatization to the, you know, the extreme, but you're running around moving. You're not spending that much time with your foot resting on the hot surface. So anyway, fast cadence, vertical torso, just kind of get your balance in front of your feet. But, you know, again, don't lean the shoulders forward over your hips. You want to lean your hips forward over your feet. And then your shoulders should be still above your feet, above your hips. though. I tell people to kind of lean, push their hips forward, but I have to emphasize, you know, your whole body should actually be going forward, but you don't have to push your shoulders forward, because if you push your hips forward and the torso's balanced on top of your hips, it's going to follow. I had one guy at one of my workshops, when I said push your hips forward, he just pushed his hips forward, but his shoulders went back. So he was still balanced the same way, and he wasn't moving forward. So the whole idea of letting your hips move forward in front of your feet is to basically to throw yourself off balance so that you're moving, falling forward. And then just move your feet really quickly and try to keep up with your hips.
All right. Well, great. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Got a couple more questions here. If somebody who had an ultimate goal of running a marathon barefoot, what preparation suggestions would you give for them? And how long do you think it would take to train for this, just generally?
You know, generally, it varies immensely. Barefoot Ted did it in less than a year. Actually, I think he started going barefoot in 2004, and it was late 2004, and he did LA Marathon, which was early 2005. So it was less than a year, probably half a year even, maybe, before he did. Ted had always been a barefooter. He just wasn't a barefoot runner. So, you know, he'd always walked around the house barefoot and walked around outside barefoot, played barefoot as a kid like I did. Some of it depends on, you know, the person's, Ted's a type A personality. He's going to go for it. He's going to hurt himself occasionally, but he's going to get there. Some of us, you know, between my shod marathon and my first barefoot marathon was 11 years. But that was partly because I hadn't set the goal of running a barefoot marathon until 10 years later. So it really varies a lot depending on your drive, if you want to do it, if you care. There's no real reason to run a marathon barefoot. It's kind of fun, but, you know, it's not something anybody has to do. Listen to your feet. Go out and run barefoot. Do your practice barefoot. You know, there's some wise advice for running a marathon in general, whether you're doing it with shoes or not, is you do it with all old friends. You don't buy a new pair of shoes the day you're doing the marathon and try to run with them. You don't even wear a new shirt the day of a marathon. I tried that once, and it chafed my under my arms, and then I looked at it, and, oh, there was actually a seam that was a bad seam in there. And I had actually run in a shirt of the exact same design. It's just that one was defective. So don't do anything during the marathon you haven't already practiced and tested during your training run. So the same thing with running barefoot. You want to practice. You want to get used to running barefoot. You want to learn how to run barefoot and learn how to run gently. Build up gradually. You know, start short, slow, build gradually, just like you would train in shoes. The only difference is you're going to be running much more gently and you won't have to work as hard. So you'll actually probably be able to progress faster. It won't seem faster because, of course, most people have already progressed to some point with running in shoes. So they're going to say, oh, it's going to take me years to, you know, a year or months or, you know, to run a marathon barefoot. Well, I'm already running 10 miles in shoes. It's going to be faster to get there with shoes, but not necessarily. If you're only running 10 miles in shoes, you've got another 15, and those are the hard 15. And if you're not running well in shoes, you're going to have other problems. So, you know, build a foundation, just like you would if you're building a house. You know, if you try to build a house real quickly and don't worry about the foundation, the house is going to collapse anyway. So, you know, build the foundation, and then once you get the foundation solid, the house goes up a lot quicker, and it'll stay there and last for many, many years. That's basically the same advice as starting anything new. Start slow, short, pay attention, learn, and increase gradually as you learn.
All right. Sounds like it's just pure common sense advice, because we need more of that today.
Yeah, but common sense is a funny thing. It's, you know, real sense isn't very common, and what passes for common sense isn't all that sensible sometimes.
That's very true. All right, a couple more questions. How do you see the future of running barefoot with the rapid rise in awareness?
You know, there's a lot of skeptics out there saying it's a fad or a trend. But as I see it, it's been just waiting to happen because, you know, the way shoes have been built up over the years ridiculously from just a basic, you know, basic protection from rough surfaces, which we don't really even need if we take the time to learn how to run gently and let our soles build up. But anyway, they've gone overboard, so much so that, you know, our bodies started rebelling, and now people's brains are starting to rebel. And, you know, it's not so much that we hate the shoemakers, it's just that running barefoot works for, I mean, you know, you'll hear a lot of quote-unquote experts saying, you know, running barefoot's okay if you have perfect running form and, you know, you're already suited for running barefoot. But the odd thing is the people it's actually working best for are people who had really bad running form in modern running shoes, and they went to some of the experts and got fitted for special running shoes and orthotics and special inserts and things that were supposed to correct their running form for them. And in a lot of cases, it's not working, and they found by taking off their shoes, once they realized that was an option, which, I mean, kind of like me, when I was doing my first marathon, it didn't occur to me that was an option to do on a road. I never really followed sports, so I didn't know, you know, about B.B. Bikila or Zola Budd. You know, they kind of just were in the back of my mind. Maybe I heard them on the news once or twice, but it wasn't something I had thought about consciously, and we were so inundated with commercials telling us we need shoes in order to be great athletes, and, you know, some of us, first of all, are not going to be great athletes anyway, because if we were all great athletes, then we'd all be mediocre athletes because we'd all be the same. But, you know, elite runners are elite because they're the best. It's not because of the shoes they wear. But anyway, you know, I mean, this is really the way we're designed to run, and it works for so many people that shoes don't work for, that, and the truth is coming out now, and people are realizing this is an option, and, you know, they're trying it, and like I said, you know, this is the test. The test is if you go out there and try running barefoot and it feels better, you don't need a peer-approved study, you know, in a clinic. You've just done the research and tested it, and all you have to do now is pay attention and improve, keep improving and learning and then build gradually. So I see it growing. I see it. There's no reason it's not going to continue to grow. I mean, there's going to be people getting hurt, but there's people getting hurt in shoes. It's because they're, you know, not taking the time to learn how to run correctly. Whether they're doing it in shoes or barefoot, it's the same thing. It's because they're running in minimalist shoes and not getting the full feedback from their feet telling them you're not running correctly, you're not ready to run this distance on a rough surface, or they're avoiding the rough surfaces and not learning how not to skid their feet. You actually get more blisters on a smooth surface or even running on grass or on beach sand than you will on a rough asphalt, because you're not going to slide your feet on rough asphalt. You're
right.
Not going to skid, you know, push your feet hard in. So you're not going to, the blisters come from abrasion and, you know, friction. And you're going to learn to avoid that on a rough surface. So, but anyway, it's only going to continue because it works. We don't need the $1 million advertising budget to sell. It's kind of like breathing air, you know. You know, you could spend billions of dollars in advertising and convince people they needed air filters and had to wear them all the time whenever they went outside. And some people do. And some people, you know, because of smog or wherever they live or, you know, sensitivities in their lungs or whatever, may need that. But the majority of us don't. It's just really, that's actually the unusual case. And I think it's the same with shoes. The person who needs shoes in order to run is probably the exception, not the
right.
rule. The rule is most of us really can run barefoot, and we can run better barefoot, and we can even run longer, further, and further into our old age barefoot.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've been going for a little over an hour now. Could you tell us a little bit about your barefoot website and also how people can learn more about what you're doing and get involved maybe with a workshop or something like that?
Well, I'm doing a road tour right now. My wife and I are on the road. My wife's driving. We're heading to Las Vegas right now. She's going to do a triathlon there with shoes. She's not a barefoot runner. She has run a low tide race on sand barefoot, and she's actually done some barefoot running with one of her coaches who is a post-tech coach. But anyway, once we finish her triathlon in Las Vegas, then we're going to Phoenix and doing a workshop in Phoenix on, let's see, next Monday. And then we're going to run home and take my wife's bike home, and I drive home, actually, not run. And then we head it back out to Phoenix or Albuquerque. And then from Albuquerque, we just keep going east until we get to Atlantic City, and then we start turn north and go up the coast in Newark. We're going to hit, Albuquerque, North Carolina, Washington, D.C. Let's see, where's Atlanta? Is that Virginia? Yeah, we hit Virginia, Louisiana, Newark, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and actually we're going to meet up with Chris McDougall, the author of Born to Run. Chris and I will then go over to Newark and meet up with Irene Davis and Daniel Lieberman, so that's going to be really exciting. And then from there to New York Central Park and up to Boston, and then I'll see Daniel Lieberman again before he and Dr. Davis go to Kenya to study Kenyans who have been running barefoot all their lives, 20 miles a day, so that's going to be fun for them. But while they're doing that, my wife and I will continue our journey and head up to Maine, Vermont, upstate New York, and then over to Ohio and Indiana and Michigan, lower Michigan first, then over to Chicago area, Highland Park, and Woodstock, Illinois, and a little town called Barron, Wisconsin, way up north, and then Marquette, Michigan. And then we drop back down into Michigan to my hometown, Traverse City. And then we head to Omaha, Nebraska, from there, and Colorado, Littleton, Colorado, we'll do a workshop. And then St. George, Utah, and then back home. So it should be kind of fun. It's going to be a couple months.
It's
going to
be busy. Yeah. Well, I will be there for your workshop in Cambridge, Mass. On June 9th. So if any of my readers would like to meet up with me and Barefoot Ken Bob Saxton, then please come out. You can find more information about that at his website, which is therunningbarefoot.com.
The workshop tour is on barefootkenbob.com.
Oh, okay. Barefoot.
But there is a link to it from therunningbarefoot.com.
Okay. Well, great. Now, I did want to give you one last opportunity before we go. This has been just such a great interview, and I know my readers are going to just eat this information up and really shared a lot of great information. I was wondering, you know, with all your experience running barefoot, do you have a favorite barefoot running story or experience that you'd like to share before we sign off?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I have a lot of them. I probably should mention the one nearly serious injury I had, which was during my first barefoot marathon, which was the trail run. It was actually a very interesting marathon. It was not just a trail run, but it was an up and down the mountain about two or three or four times. It was in April in Northern California, and there was we had to cross several streams, or cross a couple streams several times. And the water was just frigid. It was overcast and kind of drizzly, maybe 58 degrees at the warmest on that day, just running through that cold water and the cold mud. My feet were basically numb the whole time I was doing that marathon. what was really kind of interesting was I did get a cut on the side of my feet, and I'm guessing it was during one of the stream crossings, but my feet were numb, so I didn't feel it. So I don't encourage people to do that kind of cold weather marathon or race when they're first learning how to run barefoot, because, again, it's the feedback that helps teach us. So I had been running barefoot, though, like I said, for most of my life, so some 40 years at that time. My technique was still pretty good. The cool thing was that the slice in my foot was actually on the side of my foot, on the edge. It was not on the sole. There was a white line on the sole where it looked like I probably had stepped on a sharp rock in one of the stream crossings, and it slid across the tougher leather skin on the sole of my foot. And it's not hard callus. That's also a myth. You only get that hard callus from rubbing and abrasion. It's more of a leather. But anyway, so the sharp rock apparently slid across the sole of my foot, and then it only sliced when it got to the soft skin on the side. But still, that one injury, in fact, all the injuries I've had in 76 barefoot marathons were less painful and much faster recovered from than the injuries I had during the only marathon I ran with shoes. 5 hours of running in shoes is more dangerous to me than running 76 full marathons without shoes.
Well, I think
that's my experience.
Yeah.
Now, aside from that, yes, you may get a couple splinters in your foot, especially when your soles are tender and soft. My recommendation is don't wait to pull them out. Pull them out well before they've been pounded into the, you know, deeper into the flesh. It's going to be, I mean, it may be embarrassing, and you're thinking, oh, the people on, you know, watching me do this are going to say, see, I told you you shouldn't run barefoot, you're going to get splinters. But, you know, you can always laugh at them when they stop to tie their shoes or take their shoe off to get a pebble out of the inside of their shoe. So, you know, take the time. It only takes 2 seconds to pull a splinter or a thorn out of your foot if you get it right away. Then it does, you know, if you wait till you get home, you're going to have to take a sharp knife and dig around a bit. That's no fun at all. So, you know, be reasonable, be sensible, respond quickly to, you know, the way you feel and any debris that's sticking inside your soul.
All right.
There's a story that's not mine, which was Tegla Larupi. When she was young and in Africa, she was running a race barefoot through the forest and got a stick that actually went all the way through her foot, coming off the top of her foot, apparently.
Ooh.
She waited till she finished the race. Actually, at that point in time, you know, it's already coming out the top of the foot, so pounding it in further is probably not going to hurt but anymore.
Right.
Probably does. But she actually finished second in the race overall, and then she pulled the stick out.
Wow. Well, that is dedication. All right. Well, that was, I mean, seriously, that was probably one of the most enjoyable interviews I've ever done. So thank you very much, Barefoot Ken Bob.
You're welcome. And thank you.
And I'm looking forward to meeting you in June. And again, I'd like all my readers to go and check out what he's doing on the web and look for one of his workshops if he's going to be coming to your area. His websites are therunningbarefoot.com. and barefootkenbob.com. So thank you very much, and I look forward to
meeting you. And the summer tour is not the end of our workshops. We're going to be heading up to California after July, and then we'll probably also be heading up to Seattle and Portland in November.
All right.
But anyway, we'll keep updating the website for updated new workshops.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of your trip, and good luck to your wife in her triathlon in Las Vegas.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.